handed out to you right now, showing you just our plans, more details about what we're going to be talking about tonight, or this morning. So as we begin, why do we want to be missionaries? That's a question people ask. Why would I want to be a missionary? Why do I want to go to Paraguay? Why would I want to leave the United States? There's a lot of reasons. That comes back to, you know, how you were brought up, I think, is a part of it. For example, Kara, when her family sold all their possessions, and this is not to say good things about their family, but just to give you a background of Kara. When she was 5 years old, her family sold all they owned, and they moved to Austria. And her dad taught in a school in Austria for a year. And she started school over where the school that Sigmund Freud, I believe, went to school. So if you have any questions about her, that's where it stems from. For myself, my grandfather, for all that I've known him, has been a preacher and been working out in the Northwest as a missionary. And so it's part of Kara and I's lives. But why do we want to be missionaries? Three simple reasons. To fulfill the Great Commission, first of all. Go ye means go me. You've heard before. And that's, Kara and I have really taken that to heart. And a mission doesn't need to be anywhere but outside your front door. But Kara and I have decided that we want to go farther, just a few steps farther than our front door. But when Christ says, "Go and make disciples of all nations need to have a chance. Another aspect is to edify the church. We're going to be going into a work that has already been established. Chris Fry, who you know very well, and the work in Paraguay, we know the congregation is already there. But we're going there to help edify the church and build it up and work with that congregation that's down there. Not only to evangelize the lost, but to work with those who are growing in Christ. And the need. It's been Kara and I's prayer since we began making preparations for the mission field. And it started with prayer. Lord, send us where we are needed. Before we came here, our prayer was, send us where we are needed. There's lots of places you can go, but it's nice to go where you can work and be needed and be a part of the work. And so we are here, and we're getting ready to go to Paraguay, and we're going to talk about that need here in a little bit. For those of you who don't know where Paraguay is, it's way south. Farther south than here. It's actually right on the Tropic of Capricorn, right on the tropic, way down there. And what's really nice is that we're in the same time zone right now. So Troy and I talked to Chris Fry this past Wednesday night for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and we were on the same time zone, so we didn't have to do the math about when to call one another. So that's nice. But about Paraguay, population nearly 7 million. The religion is down there. Obviously, the Roman Catholic Church has a good foothold down there, but you see some other religions as well. Language, Spanish is the official, as well as Guarani. And Guarani is the Indian dialect. It sounds nothing like Spanish, so don't worry about trying to figure that out. But the literacy, I put this literacy information in here, is that we're going to an educated area. So it's good that they can, just to show you a perspective of the people that are down there. Asunción itself. By looking at these pictures, you can tell there's a wide variety of poverty and wealth. It's the capital you see there, that white building with all the windows in front. Off to the left, I guess that would be your left. I'll let you turn. There's a little white building down there. That's the museum. And this picture you see in the bottom left of your corner with the shanties there is actually right behind. I guess you see down in those trees, right behind the Capitol building, you have these shanties. And so you have a wide variety of those in poverty and those in wealth. And you see this other home. It looks like a home here in Palm Beach Lakes, doesn't it? Here in Palm Beach, that home there on the right. But that's just another home. You see the variety of the people that are down there, the variety of the conditions they're living in. Asunción is the capital city, population nearly over a million, very modern, a very European city, and just elevation, we're about 120 feet higher than y'all are, so not much. The history of the church. It's important to look at what's been going on. What's been going on as far as the Lord's church is concerned, and as far as we know, this is This is what we know. Juan and Luis were the initial 1970 missionaries, made initial mission efforts in 1970. In 1981 and 1984, Forrest McDonald was the first American missionary that we know of that was down there for those 3 years. In 2002, there were two congregations with a total combined membership of 35 members. The Centro Church of Christ, which is in the downtown area, then Capiatá, which is sort of a subset or a little area outside of Asunción. Those are the two that we knew of in that area. In September 2003, a team of six, Chris and Vicky Fry, Ethan and Ashley Harden, Vanessa Hetty, Enoch Reeks, committed to 5 years of evangelism in Asunción. And as according to on September 5th, nearly a year later, the Sacramento Street Church of Christ had their inaugural service with 171 in attendance. And that included area congregations, stateside supporters, and recent study contacts. And so in a year of their language studies, and a year of what they've been doing down there, you had 171 in attendance. And so that was a great start for the work down there. Now, the Sacramento Street Church of Christ is a very central location, and we'll talk about that maybe in a minute. But currently, the congregation of the Church of Christ, Sacramento Street, has been meeting for 3 years with 60 members in regular attendance. And this is the largest congregation in the Lord's body, in the Lord's body in Paraguay to date, in 3 years. Now, here is the current mission team, and we'll talk about what's going on here. Vanessa Hetty got married while she was in the mission field, and she is the one on the bottom right. You see her husband has the fuzzy hair on top. I guess that's the easiest way to say that, since you don't know these people. You know this person. Some of you know Brittany Dye. She joined the team not too long ago, as well as Perry Harden. Now, Perry and Ethan and Josh Harden are all brothers. Josh Harden and Vanessa Harden have already left. They're in the time right now where they're phasing out. And this is why I was going to talk to you about the need. They have come to the end of their 5-year commitment, and it's time for them to start going home. And a part of their plan was to start recruiting people to come down to continue the work. And that's where Troy and I stepped in. Troy and I and Karen and Andrea began to consider seriously the work in Paraguay. These couple, Ethan and Ashley Harden, will be going down. Will be going down very, very soon. Be leaving soon. And by the time we get down there, the only two that will be down there will be Enoch Rinks, Chris and Vicky Fry, and Brittany Dye and Perry will maybe be there for a few months, but they'll be heading out very soon as well. Now here we are. Here's our mission team, and this is, you know who we are. We don't have to introduce ourselves to you, but when we go to other congregations, we have to introduce ourselves. You know, here's Troy and Andrea, and myself and my wife and our two kids. And so this is the time where we talk about one another. This is the time we talk about how Troy and I got to know one another. When we first came here, we talked about my interests. Do you remember that? And y'all had up on the screen what Josh liked to do. One of those things was hunting and fishing. There were two people here who liked to hunt and fish, and Troy was one of them. And so we quickly became friends. What I like to say is we became fishers of men together. And so we, a lot of things, there's a lot you can do in a relationship when you and Troy or you and whoever is out in the middle of the lake in a boat together for a couple hours. You learn a lot about one another. And so we spent a lot of time and developed that relationship. And Troy really got the bug whenever he went down to El Salvador and went on this trip. When he went to Paraguay initially, and we'll show you some pictures from that in just a minute. He went to Paraguay initially, then we went down to El Salvador together. And shortly after that, Troy and Andrea came to Karen and I and said, would you mind having two more going with you? And of course, we were elated. We loved that idea. And so here we are, our mission team. And of course, being from Florida, you have to get a picture from the beach. And so, you know, we did that. Now, a little bit about the work that's down there. You know about the work, but here's a picture from their third anniversary service that they had. And they filled the auditorium there. It was a great occasion for them to have that there in September. Here's some pictures from when we visited. This past summer, I was teaching an adult class at Capiatá. And I don't know the language very well, so I used a lot of hand signals. As well as a translator, and Troy took a picture there. You see Troy handing out information, and then you see me also teaching an adult class at Sacramento Street Church of Christ. They do things different. Kapia Ta worships Sunday morning, and that's the only time they worship on Sunday. Sacramento Street used to worship in the evenings, in the afternoon, because morning time usually people don't get out as much in the city, and so they would reserve it towards the afternoon. And so we got to teach and worship both times that Sunday. Now they have since switched. They are out, both congregations now are worshiping in the morning, but at the time it was in the afternoon. Here's an event of the Church Day Retreat. They eventually, I think once a year, maybe twice a year, they go and they rent a facility, and they go out, and the congregation comes together for a Sunday, and they worship together and have breakout classes and have a Church Day Retreat. And so you see all these individuals here in this picture, and here's a selection. Are people they have contacted, studied with, baptized, worked with, and are very involved in these people's lives. And that's what we want to be doing very, very soon. Here's some pictures again when we were down there. Andrew, we went and visited an orphanage. And you may have heard about and remember about this orphanage, but it's right next door to a women's prison. So some of these children that are in this orphanage have their mothers in this prison. And so they do a lot with working with this group. They have a Children's Day event. Country of Paraguay, they have Mother's Day, and they have Father's Day, and they have Children's Day. So they get the whole family involved. And so they have a Children's Day event for these orphans. And we went down there, and we talked with them and sang songs with them. And, of course, Andrea got a few of them to sit in their lap. So they were a bit shy at first, but they warmed up pretty quick. And you see just below that picture, you have their youth group meeting together. In the top right, you have the men's meeting. We are involved in that men's meeting. They have a Bible study, and they discuss Bible topics. Not only are they training these men to be leaders, they're working with them, working over just the issues in the church and things of that nature. And then again, the children in the orphanage on the bottom picture there. I mentioned to you the congregation at Kapia Ta. The top left is that picture of their little front there at Kapia Ta. And this is actually from, some of you may recognize these pictures from when Palm Beach Lakes went down and did a VBS in Paraguay. I think if you can maybe be able to look close enough, you can see Kelly Afron in some of these pictures, as well as Miss Porter in some of these pictures. On the top right, you have the front of the building at Sacramento Street Church of Christ. This used to be a mattress facility. It used to be an abandoned building for a while, and they've since renovated that. And you see them teaching classes here in the bottom two pictures at the VBS. Now, the big question, we'll come up here. Why Asunción, Paraguay? Why Asunción, Paraguay? Why go there? There's millions of places in the world, hundreds of thousands of places in the United States. Why go to Asunción, Paraguay? Well, for us, Palm Beach Lakes is already involved. How much better a perfect fit than to go to a place where the congregation that's going to be sending us already knows the work, already knows what's going on, is abreast of the situation down there, has one from its own in Paraguay already. How much a better fit? And when we talk to other congregations about this, what this is saying is that it's a continuum of a relationship. What this says to other people is that it's not Josh going off and doing this thing. It's a continuation of his relationship with Palm Beach Lakes, and it's a continuation of Palm Beach Lakes' involvement with Paraguay. And so it shows stability. It shows a united front on our part. And so that's why I show this. So you're mentioned very heavily when we go out and do the work of raising funds, which I've done once so far. So all one time, you've been mentioned very heavily. It met our criteria. When you think about taking your family to a third world country, you have to have some criteria. You may have heard me talk about Nigeria. I loved the work in Nigeria. I've told Kara that if I was a single man, that's where I'd be, teaching in a preaching school or something like that in Nigeria. Kara said, not me. You know, she would go, but it's not a place for our family. It's not a place for a family necessarily. I'm just going to say this from my heart. It would hurt me immensely if I went somewhere and my kids were hurt because I chose to take them there. Does that make sense to you? I mean, as parents, you understand that. And so we had to have some criteria about what we're going to have down there. What kind of medical facilities, namely for our children, are they going to have? What kind of education are they going to have? And so that was a part of it when you take your family into the field. And so Paraguay met our criteria. When we went down there this summer, we checked out the hospitals, took pictures for the grandparents so they know sure that we were taking care of their grandchildren, went and visited the schools. And so things are great down there. It's a place where you can go and work and feel comfortable. Kara and I found a great coffee shop just around the corner. So it's a great, great place. Seriously, it was 10 o'clock one night, and Kara and I walked down to this coffee shop. We know very little. We can order coffee. That's about all we can do Spanish yet. That's all where our Spanish is, where mine anyway is right now. We walked down there, felt totally comfortable walking down there, ordering coffee. The people are great. It's not a threatening situation. Now, ignorance is bliss on some situations. You got to be careful. Just have your wits about you. They have armed guards on the street corners just to take care of some things. We were walking down the street, and there's some guy sitting in the chair. And Kara's like, why is that guy sitting in the chair? And I said, well, did you see what he was holding? And she's like, no. I said, well, just keep on walking. If you want to know what he was holding, talk to me later. But it's a great place. I say that, and I tell you, you can feel comfortable down there. It's a place where you can feel comfortable coming and visiting. And I say that because eventually we're going to want you coming down there visiting us. You are going to be a part of this work. And some of you are thinking, yeah, right. But we'll make sure everybody's nice, and we'll get everything. We're well with the red carpet for you, all right? It's a good, ripe area to work. Pray that the Lord send forth reapers. It's ripe. It's working already. It's working. And that's an element of this going into a congregation. You're not setting up something. We know the gospel works. We know the Lord works through his gospel. That's not questioned. But the hearts are ripe down there. They're listening. And we're going into an area that is already getting tilled, if that makes sense. The hearts are being tilled. And so we're going in there to continue the work. And of course, a people in Asunción, when we went down there, and it was no secret that we were looking at possibly coming down there. And so the people really talked to us about the work. They were already saying, well, you know, this is a place where you might want to send your kids to school. They were really trying to help us fit in. And so that we felt real closeness to the people, the congregation in Asunción, but also the lost in Asunción. Over a million people in that city that don't know Christ. Don't know Christ. And it's bearing fruit. It's already working. There's already a congregation down there that's doing the Lord's work. All right. The next big question. Why should you get involved in Asunción, Paraguay? And again, this is where we talk to the congregations and say, they're like, okay, that's great. You're going down to Asunción. That's great that you chose that place. And now they're thinking, okay, what about me? Why should I, the average member of the average congregation, get involved in the work in Asunción, Paraguay? Well, one, there's a faithful congregation that believes in the work. That's you. There's a faithful congregation that believes in the work. There's an eldership that stands firmly behind Kara and I and Troy and I. There's a congregation that's right behind us. What is it, Verizon, that has a support network? That's the easiest way. I was trying to think of an image to show you how we feel about you in this work. And that's the easiest way to show that image. Not that when we make a cell phone call that y'all are there, but that when we go to do the work, you're right there with us. It's not just Kara and Josh and Troy and going down there and Andrea going down there. And we'll see you when you come back. Look forward to you coming home. That's not it. Go ye means go me. And Kara and I just said, we're going to go, but we can't go without you. You're tied into that. We wouldn't go if y'all weren't sending us, if y'all weren't supporting this. And so we'll talk more about that in just a second. But there's a faithful congregation that believes in the work. It's in an area that you can feel comfortable visiting and working in, and that's why that visiting is highlighted there, because we want the people that are involved in the work to be involved in the work. We want them to come down and visit. Chris and Vicky, they have congregations bring their youth groups down and work. They're always having people come down. They're always having people come down. And it really breathes life into the congregation and into the work, into those who are doing the work down there. The people in Asunción, again, the people in Asunción, you cannot forget about the lost that are down there. That's the reason you're going down there. And again, it's bearing fruit. By their fruits you will know them. And this is what we say to the congregations. It's bearing fruit. The Lord is working in there. By their fruits you will know them. And this is the time when I begin to talk about a few things about the work, about mission work in general. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to talk here for a few minutes. In Philippians chapter 4, in the book of Philippians, we read earlier how it opened up. Paul had a close relationship with this church in Philippi. He believed in them. They had a close relationship. It says, you're there with me in my imprisonment and in my chains. Now, it's not my effort, it's not my intention to be imprisoned or be in chains. But if I was, I'm confident that you'd be there with me. Paul talks about his confidence in the church in Philippi. And you flip over to the chapter 4, and I want to look at a few words this morning. In verse 10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that I now at last, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. So here's another opportunity for the work in Paraguay. We've worked together for 4 years with the youth. That's been an opportunity for us to work together. And we've worked in that capacity for 4 years, and now we're going to be working together in Paraguay for initially 5 years, but the Lord knows how long we're going to be down there. Here's another opportunity for us to work together. In verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A verse that we know is talking about mission work. It's talking about mission work, a verse that we use a lot. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Paul was not alone in prison. Sure, he was chained to a guard, possibly. And sure, there were others who were with him. But he felt that the church in Philippi was there with him, sharing in the works. Not just his imprisonment, but the works where he went. Philippi sent to support the work that he was doing. And they were a support group for him. They shared in the work. And so it's not Paul going and doing this. Philippi was involved in the efforts that Paul was doing. Philippi, let's talk another word about that. He goes on to say in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you only. They've been there from the beginning. And you can go on and on about analogies. You've been here with me. This is Kara and I's first work out of school, I guess. From the beginning, you've been with us. You know us. We have a relationship with one another. We're not strangers to you. We've shared together in the work, and we're going to continue doing that. He says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent an aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. We are confident and have every confidence in God that we're going to go to Paraguay. And I can say that because we've been making plans for so long to go somewhere where we're needed. We were needed here, and we've been working here with you. The need's in Paraguay, obviously, because they're leaving. The need's there. And it's working out. The thing about the providence of God, you can see that as you look back on your life. You can trust in it, but you can see it as you look back on your life. And I trust in God that we're going to be there. But when we're out raising funds, and we're saying it's not that we need the money. That's not what it's about. Because we're confident we're going to go. Whether or not Congregation X is going to support us, we're confident we're going to go. But we seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Mission work is not about the missionary. It's about the congregation that sends them, and it goes to the glory of God. It's about seeking the lost, doing the work that God has asked us to do, and the glory going to Him. And he says in verse 18, "Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things that sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." The things that we do, and we don't think about this necessarily, the things that we do as a sacrifice. Did I skip ahead too quickly? Yes, I did. What happens when you're not paying attention? A sacrifice. The things that we do for God. We don't think about a sacrificial system anymore because one sacrifice was made for our sins. But what about a sacrifice of our giving to God? A sweet-smelling aroma to God. And so when we talk to congregations about raising support, you're going to be blessed. The fruit is to your account. You are partakers in the work. It's a sweet aroma and a sacrifice unto God to support the work, to support mission work. And Palm Beach Lakes is a part of that. I don't know how much clearer I can make it that if we didn't have trust in you and did not have this relationship together, y'all wouldn't send me if you didn't trust me. And our elders wouldn't send us if they didn't trust us and we had that close relationship. And we wouldn't go because, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go and we're going to make a home in Paraguay. But our lifeline back to what we know is going to be Palm Beach Lakes. And so you are closely, hand in hand, involved in the work in Paraguay. And as we close this morning, visitors, what you've seen in our worship this morning is how the New Testament describes worship. What you've seen in this presentation is how the New Testament describes mission work. A congregation, an eldership sending out those to go, but partakers in the work. And so if you're visiting here with us this morning, this may not be what you bargained for, but you're seeing an aspect of the Lord's work. And as we think about a sacrifice, we can think about a sacrifice that was made for us. Because of His sacrifice, we can believe in Him. Acts 16, verse 31. Because of His sacrifice, we can turn to Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And because of His sacrifice, we can confess our faith in Him. Matthew 10, verse 32. Because if we do not, He will deny us before the Father. Because of His sacrifice, we can be baptized to raise and walk in newness of life. As Revelation or Romans chapter 6 talks about a death, burial, and His resurrection, that baptism is that death to us, to ourselves, and raised to walk in newness of life, raised to be the new man. And if we live faithfully, we can have a home in heaven with Him because of that sacrifice. This morning, you may want to have that relationship with Him. You may want to make that decision to put Him on in baptism and say, I want to go to heaven. I want to have that close relationship with Him. As we've talked about the lost here this morning, this is an aspect, mission work is an aspect of God seeking those who would be saved. And this morning, you're hearing His message. We only speak on His behalf. Speak the message that He has given to us. And you're hearing His message about how to have a relationship with Him and how to have a relationship with the Father. If you want to have that relationship, you have that opportunity at any time, but especially now as we sing the invitation song. But if you need the prayers of the congregation, you also have the opportunity as we come now, as we stand and as we sing.